And we are, if you've missed the last few weeks, we're going through the book of Revelation. We've been going through the Bible for many, many years now, and we've got to the book of Revelation. And some of it's easier to get than others. Some of it's hard to take in, but we're at chapter 18 today. And while you find that, I'm just going to start by just reading you, before I read that, I'm going to read you just a quote I got from Justin Welby. You know Justin Welby? Do you know him? The Archbishop of Canterbury. You know that bloke? And he was being interviewed by Jeremy Vine. And Jeremy Vine asked him, because Justin Welby used to be in the oil industry, he said, you started your life working in the oil industry. Which is more powerful, the church or the oil industry? And shouldn't you really have stayed in the oil industry? You know, that's where the power is. And Justin Welby replied by, I mean, this, I'd love to be able to respond as quickly and as sharply as this, you know. He said, in my previous job in the oil industry, the pension was unbelievably good. But in this job, the post-pension benefits are out of this world. I like that. Yeah, yeah. Well, so, yeah, remember that. The post-pension benefits are out of this world. So, with that in mind, I'm going to read you a little bit of Revelation 18. And we'll see how we go with this. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She's become a dwelling for demons, a haunt for every impure spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable animal. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues, for her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Pour her double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torment and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her sits, in her heart she boasts, 'I sit enthroned as a queen. I'm not a widow. I will never mourn.' Therefore, in one day, her plagues will overtake her, death and mourning and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, 'Woe to you, woe to you, great city, you mighty city of Babylon. In one hour your doom has come.' The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargo anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, pure silk purple, silk and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron and marble, cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and human beings sold as slaves. They will say, 'The fruit you long for is gone from you, for your luxury and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered.' The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand afar off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, 'Woe to you, great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In one hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin.'" We'll leave it there. It carries on in a similar way. Right, okay. So last week, if you were here, missed a good one last week, we talked about Babylon being the great prostitute. And we're talking now, Revelation, if you haven't been tracking along here, Revelation's full of imagery, okay? So last week, Babylon was compared to a prostitute. Babylon being, okay, got to wind back a bit here. Babylon being, in the Bible, Babylon in this time was probably speaking about Rome, the Roman Empire. But more generally, Babylon is anywhere, if you go back to the Tower of Babel, where they try to take God out of being the center and try and make themselves be the center. Yeah? So Babylon has kind of a dual meaning at least in this. And last week we were looking at Babylon being like a prostitute in that the world system, if you like, is very seductive. And it lures you in with very enticing and attractive things and draws people in into its sin in ways that are sometimes very subtle and difficult to spot because they're so enticing. So that was last week. And so this week, you see, Babylon has many facets. This week, in Revelation 18, it focuses very much on the economic immorality of Babylon or the world system. And it identifies Babylon here, the immorality of Babylon, through the exploitation of wealth. And people who are more concerned about being wealthy and luxurious than seeking after God. And so wherever you see people pursuing wealth or excessive riches or excessive luxury, the Bible is saying that's where Babylon is today. And there's an evil seduction within that that says, actually, you seek after this, seek after luxury, seek after wealth in an excessive way, and it'll be good for you. That's good for you. It'll entice you in. And there's a pride and there's a status that comes with wealth. And ultimately, it's saying, Babylon is saying, come and put your trust in these things of luxury, these things of riches. Put your trust in that. Don't put your trust in God, because these things will give you what you need. Yeah, that's what Babylon is saying to us. And you can apply that on national and international levels, and you can apply that on an individual and maybe a family level, but either way, that's what this is talking about. And so actually, I was thinking there are many cross-references in the Bible you can make to this. A summary of Revelation 18 would be, you could find it in 1 Timothy chapter 6, which says, those who want to be rich will, however, fall into temptation, become ensnared by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Those who desire to be rich will fall into all kinds of temptation, and it will end up in their ruin and destruction. That pretty much summarizes what we've been reading the last couple of weeks, doesn't it? Maybe we should just read Timothy and save ourselves all of this stuff. Now, Revelation is so, a lot of it has been strange, isn't it? There's been a lot of stuff, you know, dragons and beasts and things with 10 heads and 7 horns, or was it 7 horns and 10 heads? I can't remember which way around it was. And you've got angels, you've got plays, you've got trumpets, and you've got heavenly visions and all of this, and it's a bit kind of, whoa, this is a bit far out. You know, it's almost like John is on drugs. You know, either that or, well, something. But this chapter seems to be a lot more earthy. I don't know if you've noticed, but we're talking about merchants on the earth who grow rich from excessive luxuries. And we're talking about sea captains who later, if you carry reading on there, it says about sea captains who mourn for the loss of their trade. And there's real commodities here. We're talking about precious stones and wood and fabrics and foodstuffs and things. The things that you and I actually know about, you know. You know, we know what scarlet linen looks like, you know. We can touch that and feel that. And actually, some of these things make it easy to grasp. And it seems to be a very clear condemnation of excessive wealth and exploitation of the commerce of Babylon, which is the Roman Empire, which is the world system, which can apply to the world we live in today. And actually, God says, I'm judging this, and I'm going to bring it to an end. And so you look in the Roman situation when this was written, you've got you know, the Roman Empire basically sort of tried to bring all of the sort of drain the world's resources almost to sort of support its own business. And so God is saying, I'm bringing judgment on the Roman Empire because you have sucked the world dry of its wealth and its resources to prop up the Roman Empire. This is kind of a quick summary of that. And this judgment is more than a telling off or an announcement, that's a bit naughty, don't do that. This is God saying, I'm going to bring an end to this. I'm going to bring this down. So that was happening then, but I don't think it's too much of a stretch of the imagination to see how this might be applied to the world today. Yeah? You don't have to think too far to realize that governments and rulers, and not just here in this nation, but across the world, exploit wealth for their own means, don't they? Yeah? Companies make huge profits at the expense of the workers that work for them. Individuals live in excessive luxury, whether it's you look at footballers or movie stars or business people. There is excessive luxury in the world in some people's lives. But also in our individual lives, this calls into question how we live as well, I think. And I think we'll park some of these applications now for now, but let's just look at what it's saying. One of the phrases that recurs here is it says, in 1 hour. In verse 10 you'll see is, in 1 hour your doom has come. In verse 17 it says, in 1 hour such great wealth has been brought to ruin. In verse 19, in 1 hour she has been brought to ruin. Now, here is a bit of symbolism, because in Revelation we're talking, the numbers are often symbolic, okay? So in 1 hour, that means a short time, layman speak, okay? Later on we'll talk about 1,000 years. There's going to be a God's rule for 1,000 years. That's going to be a long time, all right? So let's not get hung up, is this counting the minutes and the seconds here? But what this is saying, actually, is that in a very quick and almost unexpected, there'll be an unexpected and abrupt end to the world as we know it in an economic sense. So the excessive greed, and the excessive riches that we see, and that cause, you know, I mean, Reg has stood up and not been political this morning, but you know, it makes us angry, doesn't it, when we see that there are people sleeping rough and there are people with several houses and yachts and this doesn't seem right. And it says here, God will judge this in a very quick way. In 1 hour. It'll everything be ticking along, and in 1 hour, or as in a click of the fingers, this will all come to ruin. Not a slow and steady decline, but boom. And that applies to the different empires, Babylon through history, you know, wherever Babylon is, this applies to it. And I think there will be an end time judgment. Okay, people say, oh, Revelation is all about the end. Yes, I do think this speaks of the end, but I think it also speaks of now, and you look through history how empires have been brought down and, you know, things have been judged by God and brought to an end. In a click of the fingers, God can change everything. And if you think about it, that's how God works. Doesn't he say for us to be watchful and to be ready? Why? Because you can be just trotting along and thinking life's just fine and things can change very quickly. I don't know about you, but this country has changed, it seems to me, very quickly. You know, just in the last week or so, or even the last year, if you think about the Brexit vote as well. But that's, actually, you can see God's working in that. Doesn't it say, in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet will sound, and when the trumpet sounds, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. You know, when Jesus comes, it's not going to be this elongated kind of thing, just like, he's here, and you'll be changed. That's how God works. And so he's painting this picture. Here we've got, there's an evil and corrupt sort of economic system in the world. And the message here is, in verse 4, is to us as God's people, it says, come out from her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so you will not receive her plagues. The message to the church in John's day was, come out of the Roman system. Don't live in this corrupt economic system. Come out of it. Don't be part of this world system that pursues wealth and says that wealth and riches are the means to salvation, effectively. He's saying, you've been given a chance of freedom. Don't get taken up in this slavery that the world tries to ensnare you in, but live as free people. Isn't that always God's thing? Live as free people. Don't get caught up in the slavery of this world. Don't get caught up in Rome's economic system. And for us today, It's just the same. Don't get caught up in this world system of the economy of this world, but come out of it. Come out of it. Because it will be judged, and it will come tumbling down. And, you know, I think there are just rumblings of it in our age, you know, with that, the financial crisis, which has affected the whole world, really, hasn't it? And I think that's just a little rumble, really, in comparison to this. But really, those who have a lot material and put their trust in those things have a lot to lose. I think probably this is where Jesus speaks to this, you know, that it's actually, there is great riches in just a humble lifestyle where your assurance is in God. You're not going to lose anything there. When all your money's in that bank, if you like, if your financial riches. But actually, those of us who have stuff here have a lot to lose if we put in our trust in that. And Jesus spoke in parables in that way, didn't he? Very much so. But those who have left Babylon and have come out of the world system and come out of this economic system have nothing to fear when the judgment comes, because they will rejoice, because actually the oppression is gone and we can live free. So come out of Babylon, he says, for your own good. Come out. Come out of this system. Now that sounds, okay, that's good. How do we do that? How do we do that? People have been trying to work this out for decades, for centuries, for millennia. How do we do this? Because I don't know if you've noticed, but the world economy is, we live in it. Put your hand in your pocket and you pull out some coins, you'll notice the Queen's head's on there. And, you know, if you want to go, if you're hungry and you need to buy a loaf of bread, you know, going into a shop and saying, I'll barter this, I don't know, packet of chewing gum for a loaf of bread, just doesn't work, you know. It's difficult. It's difficult to know how we come out of the world's system, because the economy of the world that we live in is complex. It's sort of interwoven, and there's powerful forces involved in everywhere. And so you realize that now, when you stop and you think, I'm just going to watch a game of football, that's innocent enough, I'm just going to watch a game of football. Then you turn on the TV and you watch a game of football, and you realize that in doing so you're supporting footballers who are earning huge amounts of money, excessive wealth. You realize that you're supporting media companies that are behind promoting all of this, and you think, oh, okay, does this mean I stop watching football? For some of us, that won't be a sacrifice, but for some of us, that's a big deal. Or you buy a bit of tech, you know, a bit of technology, the latest phone, the latest gadget, the latest gizmo. Some of us are into that, you know, a bit of Apple, a bit of Samsung and all that, and then you realize actually you're supporting a very wealthy global company, which is probably somewhere along the line exploiting their workers at some stage, let's be honest. Okay, so turn the phones off. Don't watch the football. Okay, again, some of us can think that's not a huge sacrifice, but then you think every time you go into Tesco or a supermarket, you're starting to feed your money into a huge global, again, organization that is all-powerful, really, and, you know, Tesco's, that controls the economy of our town in many ways, doesn't it? You know, come on, Aldi, I say. But you see, if Aldi comes out, then they'll become the empire, and then you think, oh, how do I do, you know, what do I do now? Go to church, you say?
No,
I need
to go to church.
Yeah, I know, I need to go to church, but I mean, I'm just moving empires, you know? Yeah. And you realize that you're sustaining, again, probably poorly remunerated manufacturers and suppliers and farmers, probably. You know, cheap food comes at a price somewhere, doesn't it? You're also supporting a company that promotes 24/7 culture, so the idea of Sabbath, even just for a few hours one night, let alone a whole day, is out the window, really. You know, and I mean, if you thought to yourself, right, if I said to you, I just imagine we all give to charity, but if I said to you, you know, imagine if your charitable giving you gave to an organization that uses slaves and continued forced work, you would probably say, no, I won't be giving to that charity, whatever that charity is. But when we buy food in a supermarket, we're probably doing something towards contributing towards a slavery culture. aren't we? We are slaves to this. Or there is a slavery culture where we have to work 24/7. Things are always on the go. But we all shop there. And if we didn't shop there, where on earth are we going to go? Okay, maybe the farm shop. But you can't get everything from the farm shop. And you know. So how on earth do we live in this world? How do we come out of this world? And like it says here, come out of this economic system. Now, we could go and live in a hippie community or go and live in a kibbutz. You know, go on up sticks and, you know, grow our own veg and keep chickens. And that would be hard. Let's be honest. And I don't think we should knock people that do that, by the way, because actually, it may seem strange and extreme, but actually that is very kingdom orientated, all right? But in reality for us, let's be honest, most of us aren't going to do that, I'm guessing. And please do let me know if you are. I'll order some eggs off you. But how do we do that here? I don't know if I have any great answers. There's many things it's just worth considering how we live and where our money is going. But one of the things, I think some of it is to do with attitude, really, because at the end of the day, we will have to shop in Tesco's at some point. Yeah. Or wherever, or we do need a phone to communicate today and all of these things. So maybe it's just an attitude. There's one of the modern things in our world, isn't it, is about we have choice. Yeah? We have choice. So in fact, we go into a supermarket and we have choice, so to say. And that empowers us to control what we consume. And so this whole thing about consumerism, you know, we live in this consumer culture. So not only do we drive a car, but we can choose what brand of car we want to drive, you know. Or not only do we eat food, but we can choose what type of food. You know, in this day and age, it's like, there's food. That'll do. Yesterday I enjoyed two banquets. We had curry in the morning and barbecue in the afternoon. What happens when you have good sociable friends, it's nice, you know, and it's like church, being church all over the place. But we could choose all these things, but actually, we're just talking about food, you know. Or we don't just wear clothes, do we? We choose a type of clothes to wear or a brand of clothes to wear. And the world we live in says, choose these things. Don't know if you've noticed, and you will have a better life. A better life. So upgrade your phone. Go from a PC to a Mac. That will improve your life. In fact, I can say that it probably will. Move from Tesco's to Waitrose. And in fact, that was a big selling point, wasn't it, for the development in our town. It won't just be Tesco's now, you'll have Waitrose as well. We're moving up in the world. You know, and this is what the world says. You can aspire to being upper class if you have these things. If you obtain these luxury items, you'll be seen as wealthy. You'll be seen as having made it. You'll be seen as being somebody. And I think actually, you can talk to Daniel on the stats on this, but I think I'll take a fair guess that a lot of people that he sees through CAP, the debt that they're in, is because they've been lured into a world system. Not all of them, because some of them just have stories where life has just happened to them and the bottom's been taken out of their lives. But how many people, I wonder, are lured into debt because the children have to have the latest thing? And so they fund this and say, we are okay, we're doing all right, because our children have got everything they need, except we're in debt. You see? And that's how this world works. And advertising, we talked about the empire being this sort of seductive thing last week, but advertising's so seductive, isn't it? It plays on the eyes and it says, have this product and your life will be sorted. Your life will be sorted. And so in verse 14, it talks about, in the end, these things, this fruit that entices you, but actually never fully satisfies you, it will be removed. I think almost the world trains us to be consumers now. Right from day one, we're trained to be consumers. And to the point now, I read somebody made the observation that actually in being consumers, we start to actually be defined by the products that we consume. Meaning that no longer do we say, I have value and identity because God has made me the way I am and I'm just me and God loves me for who I am. But actually now people go around and they define themselves by brands. And so like I've just said, I'm a Mac user. You know, how many people are sort of proudly say I'm a Mac user? When I inherited my brother's car, I was like, I'm now an Audi driver. And do you know, that car did things in me that were worrying because I started to drive around thinking, you know, I could put my foot down and the people would, it was fast. And it was expensive, and I knew that people looked at me in a different way. And I had to say to myself, well, A, I had to sell it, but because I couldn't afford to keep it. Goodness, the insurance on it was ridiculous. But having that badge and that brand did something to me. People define themselves by, well, I shop in Marks and Spencer's. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's okay. You know, we've got to shop somewhere, okay? So don't say, but do you see with that brand, we start to associate something with that name. Rather than being me, you know, or I wear Nike, or I wear this brand, or, you know, whatever. And you look at people and you think you're actually being identified with something rather than with someone, being God. That's what consumerism does. It's all consuming. And if you look at this list, we'll get back to this here. Where are we? The list, there's a list here in verses 12 and 13. If you read all the things that are going on in Babylon, you realize that there's a lot, that Babylon pretty much controls everything. The empire controls everything. Gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, articles, every kind of thing made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron and marble, cargoes of cinnamon, spice. I mean, it's a long list, isn't it? I'm going to carry on. Myrrh and frankincense, wine and olive oil and flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and horses and carriages. And then you think, well, that's pretty much everything on the Tesco shopping list, really, isn't it? And then it says right at the end, human beings sold as slaves. That's the key to all of this. This is what Babylon wants to do. It wants to control everything so that it wants to control everyone. And you end up realizing that people are just slaves. And they're being traded as commodities that you and I, Tesco's, the reward card, oh, that's so that you get your money off the little vouchers there. No, Tesco's wants to know what you want to buy so it controls you. Sorry. Please do go and shop in Tesco's. We need to support the local economy. But I'm just saying that this is how the world works. I'll have them complaining, won't I? No wonder we can't get people from Job Club into work at Tesco's. They know I preach against them. But the idea is here that the world system wants to control you and turn you into a slave and sell you at a price. And actually, it's not very high a price. That's what the world system, that's what the world economy does. And the Lord says, come out. Don't be slaves. Be free people. Because it's all going to go to ruin. It's all going to fall. The bottom's going to fall out of all of it. Don't trust in excessive wealth. Don't pursue excessive luxury. Don't be proud of the things you possess or can get. Don't start being a proud Audi driver like I got for a few moments. Don't share in Babylon's sin, and then you won't share in her plagues. Because the riches of this world were always intended first and foremost for God's glory, weren't they? Revelation 5, going back to Revelation 5, it says, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power. Yeah, we get that. And wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, we can put our hands up and say that on a Sunday morning. But it also says to receive wealth. Yeah, wealth. What? Doesn't God have everything anyway? Well, yeah, but everything here is to bring him glory. And then if you see in Acts 2:44, and 45, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. You see, the wealth is in this world is to glorify God and to be shared and to benefit everyone. So come out, he says. Come out, my people. Come out of this world system and live free. Live as I've intended to live. It's the better way. So it's worth us just thinking, how am I using my money? What are my goals? What are my aims in life? Yes, we do need to make a living. I'm not saying everybody leave their jobs. I'm not saying everybody, you know, don't shop in Tesco's. But I want you just to consider your attitude and your approach to it all. And where do we put our trust ultimately? Where is our hope? Because come out of Babylon, because this will end. This will fall apart. And I'm going to read you, just to finish with, I'm going to read you one of Jesus' parables. Because as I've been going through Revelation, I've realized that actually as I'm reading Revelation, understanding the symbolism more and more, it's making more sense of some of the things of the Bible and making them much more powerful to me. And here's an example of it. So I'm just going to finish by reading the parable of the rich fool in it's Luke 13. Which says, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And then he told this parable, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he says, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And then I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God.'" And he carries on, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, for what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet, I tell you, now even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink, or do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Where your treasure is, there your heart also will be." You see, Jesus is saying the same thing. Come out of Babylon. Don't serve this world and its riches. But live in the kingdom of God. Live in the generosity of God. He's the one who provides all of this in the first place. Live in the kingdom of God. In the true, and put your trust in true treasure, which is eternal. So I'm going to finish with that quote from Justin Welby. If you remember nothing else, remember Justin Welby. He's the Archbishop, you know. This is good. "In my previous job, the oil industry, the pension was unbelievably good. In this job, the post-pension benefits are out of this world. Come out of Babylon." Let's pray. Father God, I believe there is a challenge to all of us in this, because all the time we are being tempted and lured and seduced by the world around us to worry about our pension, to worry about our job, to worry about where the food's coming from, to worry about all kinds of things that the world says, here is where your trust is, here is where your hope is. If you have these things, we will be secure. And so, Lord, help us. We are weak. Help us to come out of this and to seek first the kingdom of God, and to seek first you, and to know your generosity and your love, and to know your provision. I thank you that there are testimonies here how you have provided for people in the most dire situations. And I pray, let us always, always look to you first and not put our trust in the world's wealth and the world's riches. Show us how we individually you would speak to us on how we come out of this world system and live in a more righteous and a more holy way in terms of our finances. But in all things, I pray, let us have that hope ahead of us. As Revelation wants to open up the future for us, let us know that actually whatever happens here on earth, the post-pension or the post-work or the post-this-life benefits are out of this world. And let us know what it is to know that heavenly treasure that is stored up, that our security and our hope rests in Jesus eternally and not here temporarily. And so I pray very practically for those who are in need. Again, we come to those who have, that Reg mentioned earlier, those people who their financial world, the life has, the bottom has fallen out of that. We pray as a church, let us show your love and your generosity and to share with them so that they may know something of the kingdom of God and put their hope and trust in you. Help us all, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you. You can discuss at leisure where Babylon exists today and how you come out of it. And it's no easy answers to it all, but I hope there's some challenge in there for you as well as some encouragement. Bless you. There's tea and coffee through that way. Children need to be picked up if you have them at some point.